Welcome to the sermon podcast of Paley Presbyterian Church. The following sermon is by Reverend Dr. David Bruner.
Hi there, everybody. Hello, and welcome today to worship at Paley Presbyterian Church. We are so glad you're watching this today. I'm so glad you're here to worship with us. My name is Dr. David Bruner. I serve as the Director of Adult Discipleship and Intergenerational Mission here at Paley Pres. I'm grateful to be sharing God's Word with you today. I'm grateful to John and Beckham for inviting me to preach. And I'm especially excited today because I get to preach on Philippians 2, which is one of my favorite passages in the whole Bible, and one of the most renowned and famous passages in Scripture. As many of you know, we're in the midst of a sermon series looking at the book of Philippians, Paul's letter to that community, and we're looking for the lessons it has to teach us about joy in this strange and somewhat stressful season of our life. And so I think there's a lot to learn today from this passage. So I invite you, we're going to turn to the scripture in just one second. I want you to pray with me now as we go to the Bible together. Good and gracious God, our Father in heaven, we thank you for gathering us here today through the wonder of technology. And we thank you more, God, for the power of Paul's letter to the Philippians, his witness to Jesus Christ. We ask today, God, that these words would not just be words on a page written long ago far away, but words of power and of life, words spoken to us in the power of your Spirit. Help us to hear what you have to say to us and to live that message out. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So our reading for today is from Philippians 2, verses 1 through 11. Paul says, "If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. Being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen." So, no aspect of Christian life is more important or more frequently misunderstood than humility. Humility. What is humility? How do we get it? How do we put it into practice into our life? I've been thinking about those questions for a long time, and many years ago, I heard a saying that's really helped me in my quest to understand more about humility as a Christian. And it goes like this: Humility isn't thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. Maybe you've heard that saying before. Humility isn't thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. One reason I like that definition so much is that it seems to fit the personality of Jesus pretty well. As we encounter him in the pages of the Bible, Jesus was a very humble person. But he was no shrinking violet. He was capable of great boldness and great courage. He didn't mind being different or standing out in a crowd. He didn't mind enduring criticism from others. And he wasn't afraid of picking a fight when circumstances required it. So whatever humility is, if Jesus is our role model, we have to see that it's the furthest thing from just letting other people walk all over you or take advantage of you. Jesus' humility didn't manifest itself by a lack of self-confidence or a constant harping over his flaws and foibles either. So what was it? Jesus was humbler in a subtler and more significant way. And Paul gets at this in the scripture we just heard. He tells us that Jesus was equal with God. Now, if you've been around church for a while, you might have heard of this idea we have, the Christian doctrine of the Trinity. The doctrine of the Trinity is the biblical idea that God exists forever as three divine persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. Jesus was the Father's eternal Son. Before all time, he existed as part of God's life. But Paul tells us that Jesus did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited. What is that? It would have been easy for Jesus to have stayed where he was, clothed in light, surrounded by the heavenly host, instead of coming down here to become human. It would have been easy, if Jesus had to become human, to say, okay, God, make me an affluent Roman bureaucrat, someone with a cushy government job. Make me that instead of making me a penniless, itinerant rabbi. It would have been easy for Jesus to turn away from the cross. But Paul tells us that Jesus emptied himself. He was obedient to God's call, even to the point of death on the cross. Another way of putting what Paul is trying to say is Jesus didn't think less of himself. He thought of himself less. Jesus came to this earth with a divine mission: to preach good news to the poor, to heal the sick, to proclaim forgiveness, and finally, to offer up his life as a ransom for all humanity. And Jesus gave himself to this mission completely and without reservation. That's what true humility is: giving ourselves to our divinely given mission completely. Think about it. Most of us go through life with one eye on ourselves all the time. How we're doing, if we're doing a good job, if we're doing a bad job, how we feel about ourselves. Guess what? Even if we feel lousy about ourselves, we are still the center of our own attention. Jesus was different. He wasn't distracted by arrogance about his own achievements, or despair and frustration with his own limitations. He just focused on the work God had given him to do. Now, I've encountered situations kind of like this as a parent. Some of you know that my wife, Becca, and I have three beautiful kids. Our youngest is Meg. She's going to turn 2 this month. And that means she's firmly ensconced in the toddler stage. She's walking, she's getting into things, she's causing all kinds of trouble, and it's wonderful. Usually, it's the kind of trouble that makes us laugh. She will grab a box of Kleenex or a box of wipes and pull every single one of those things out of there and just scatter them on the floor. This happens so much to Becca and I that we've actually developed a running joke about it. We have a fake social media hashtag that we utter when she does something like that. We just look at each other and we say, hashtag, no one was watching Meg. And it probably happens a couple times a week that she'll get into some mischief and we look at each other and we say, hashtag, no one was watching Meg. Now, most of the time when that happens, it just provokes a chuckle. But sometimes, guys, as you know, if you've been a parent, it can be a little bit scary. You turn around and your kid is playing with a knife. Or you turn around and they're teetering at the top of the stairs trying to walk down, but they're about to fall and hurt themselves. And it's very striking what most parents do in that situation. You just rush to save them. You take action immediately, decisively, boldly, and you don't think about yourself a whole lot. You certainly don't stop to think, okay, how am I doing? Do I feel like a good parent in this moment? Am I good or bad at this job? No, you just do it. You forget yourself. I think that kind of self-forgetfulness is what Jesus has. He loves each of us as though we were a child in danger. He were a parent. He doesn't think about his divine privilege or his divine status. He thinks about us. He doesn't think about what would make his own life easier or more comfortable. He thinks about us. That's true humility. And that's why, Paul says, God has highly exalted him. The one we worship and glorify, Jesus, the name above every name, is the one who humbled himself more than all others. I think there are some crucial lessons here for those of us who are trying to pursue the path of joy as disciples of Jesus. And I want to talk about two of them. The first lesson is about the relationship between joy and humility. I don't know about you, but the people I meet who are happiest in life aren't necessarily those who are most entertained. They are not necessarily those who are most comfortable. They are not necessarily those with the biggest salary or the slimmest waistline or the most likes on social media. It's those who have the strongest sense of vocation. People who have a clear sense of the work God's calling them to do and a clear sense that they're doing that work. People who are so focused on that mission that they don't think about themselves very much. If you've been listening to this sermon series over the past couple weeks, you've heard Becca say that joy is not the absence of suffering. It's the presence of the Lord. And I believe that to be true. If you're wholeheartedly committed to the work the Lord is giving you to do, you'll find that you can have tremendous joy, even in the midst of great hardship. So if you're pursuing joy in this season of your life, you can do a lot worse than to start there with the work that God's given you to do. Let me talk about a second lesson. And that's about what it means to practice Christ-like humility in the midst of this strange season. Maybe some of you have heard that the Chinese word meaning crisis is the same as the Chinese word meaning humility. Now, I don't know that that's true. I'm an academic, so these sorts of common sayings sometimes make me skeptical. For the purposes of this sermon, I'm going to assume that it's true. And if any of you are experts in Mandarin Chinese, you can let me know if that's accurate. I truly believe that as horrible as coronavirus has been, and as tragic as its effects have been and will continue to be, that it represents an opportunity for the church. A precious opportunity that I hope we won't let pass us by. I'm convinced specifically that this difficult time represents an opportunity to imitate the humility of Jesus Christ before a world that is watching us very carefully. The last few weeks have been really frustrating for me. probably not alone in that. There's been a huge disruption to my life and to my family's life. At work, at school, social life and politics have been immensely disrupted. Everything is different. The last 2 months feel like the good Lord, my life is like a snow globe, and the good Lord took that snow globe and just turned it upside down and gave it a big shake. It's very tempting in this season for me to focus my attention on myself, to ruminate about how frustrated I am, how unfair that all this is happening, how anxious I am about what's going on, and how eager I am for things to just get back to normal. Well, I think that's probably pretty normal to feel that way. And I suppose that I have the right to be frustrated. But I think what Jesus is saying to me right now is that he's calling me not to focus on my rights, but to focus instead on the church's God-given mission to serve others, especially those in need. Because, of course, the reality is that as drastic and as difficult as the changes have been in my life and in my family's life, there are many others all around me who have been affected way more severely than we have. And I believe God has a special heart for those people. So, in the time I have left, I want to share three quick ways that we can put others before ourselves, that we can imitate the humility of Christ in this season. All right, here's the first one. We can pray, right? Nothing revolutionary about that, nothing super complicated. We can pray. Turn your mind and your heart to the people around you and throughout the world who are affected by the coronavirus and need the presence of God's Spirit. If you're not sure where to begin with prayer, but you'd like to try, two easy places to start are with the Lord's Prayer or the 23rd Psalm. You can find those both pretty easily on Google. And all you have to do is pray those prayers and then ask God to help the victims of the coronavirus and their families. Pray for the first responders, for doctors, nurses, EMTs. Pray for those in authority, for our leaders, our governors, the government, senators, congressmen, you name it. And pray for those who are particularly vulnerable to this crisis and its effects. That's one simple way to put others first. Another way to imitate Christ's humility is to reach out to others. Call people on the phone, send them a text, arrange a Zoom meeting with someone. Even if you want to, there's this amazing old-timey thing called writing someone a letter. You do this with paper, and then you put it in a mailbox. I've never done it myself, but I'm pretty excited to try. The country is full of people that just need some gesture of love and care and concern, right? Think about people who live in retirement communities under lockdown who aren't able to get out. My mother and father-in-law are in this situation. People who live alone who can go out if they want to for this or that, but don't see people very much. People dealing with depression or other mental health issues. People dealing with unemployment. People dealing with marital difficulties, you name it. There are so many people who just need a tangible sign of God's love. And the easiest way to do that is just to reach out. Connect with them. Tell them you've been thinking about them, that you care about them. Tell them you're going to pray for them, and then pray for them. It's so easy to do. Guess what? It'll actually make you feel better. And it's a great way to put others first. Another way to reach out to people is to join the Joy Project here at PPC. As many of you know, if you've been following along with this sermon series, the Joy Project is a new ministry at Paoli Prez that aims to find one concrete way each week to reach out to others and serve them. This past week, I am proud and astonished to say our church sent almost 3,000 cookies to doctors and nurses at Paoli Hospital. 3,000 cookies! Holy smokes. I don't know if I'm more proud that our church made and sent so many cookies, or if the Brunner family successfully resisted stealing most of them. If my kids had known there were 3,000 cookies here at the church, I would have never heard the end of it. Later in this video, you're going to hear from Kelly Farrell. Kelly's a member of our church. She's a small business owner here in the community, and she's a member of our Joy Brigade. She's going to tell you more about the Joy Project for this coming week, and I warmly invite you to be a part of that. A third thing you can do to imitate Christ's humility in this season is give. You can give financially. Like many of you, I read in the news this week that unemployment in our country has reached 20%. 20%. One out of every five people is out of work. And of course, the statistics may not reflect the full reality and gravity of what's happening. I don't know the last time unemployment in our country reached 20%, but I'm guessing it wasn't last year or 2 years ago. As always, when there's this type of economic downturn, it is the poorest and most vulnerable people who will bear the brunt of it. And already we're starting to hear stories about people who feel forced to choose between their health and their livelihood. And in the wake of this series of events, many of you have reached out to us at PPC to ask how you can give. And you may have heard already that at Paley Prez, we've established a coronavirus response fund for this situation. This is a fund where all the money is earmarked for responding to coronavirus. That money is going to go to our mission partners, organizations like City Team that work with the vulnerable down in Chester. It's going to go to people affected by COVID-19, people who have experienced job loss or other hardship here in Chester County and abroad. It's all going to go to them. And giving to that coronavirus response fund is one wonderful way that you can show humility by thinking of others. Becca and I got our stimulus check a few weeks ago. Some of you have probably not gotten it. This may be a sore point for some of you. We just got lucky. We feel convicted that we wanted to tithe on that money. So we've decided that what we're going to do is give at least 1/10 of that stimulus check, which is about $400, to the Coronavirus Response Fund. And we want to invite you to do the same thing. If your family is feeling financially sound right now, if you don't need that stimulus money for other things, we want to invite you to give sacrificially to that Coronavirus Response Fund. If 49 people in this congregation joined us in giving about $400, we could raise $20,000 for our response fund. Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't that be an incredible statement of what our priorities are, that we're thinking about others? I think so. My friends in Christ, Jesus shows us what true humility looks like. It looks like focusing so much on what God's calling you to do that you think more about others than you do about yourself. It's the surest way to be a blessing to others and one of the surest ways to experience joy. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you and we worship you for the humility that you displayed. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you did not cling to your divine prerogatives, but were willing to empty yourself and endure death, even death on the cross, to rescue us. We praise you, O Christ, for what you've done. And we ask, Lord, that you would empower us to be faithful witnesses to you. Help us to share a little taste of your love and your grace and your mercy. Help us to be imitators of your divine humility. Grant us, God, a holy self-forgetfulness that isn't distracted by arrogance or discouragement, but simply looks to the work you've given us to do. Help us to do it. We pray, God, that you would help us as a church respond to the needs of the most vulnerable in this time. We ask this, Lord Jesus, in your precious and holy name. Amen.